Our turn to share tonight, and you can see the title of the message there, The Tongue, in big letters, Words We Speak. And it's interesting for me, Heinrich also touched a bit on the tongue this morning, so I think we'll come from a slightly different angle, but we take it as a confirmation that that's what we should be speaking on tonight. And just by way of introduction, I want to say that there's, in recent times, there's been quite a lot that we've spoken in church about the tongue. I remember the Encounter 4 we did just before Richard and Jolene left, and a lot came up there about the tongue, the hurtful things of the tongue, and how viciously so many people have been hurt and wounded by really ugly things that people had said to them, very often from very young, through formative years. And a few weeks ago when we also shared in the morning service, Rosita also testified about some of the very hurtful, harmful things that she'd experienced when she was young. And I think that touched a lot of people. So what we'd like to do tonight is just make a little bit of a shift, not totally, but we have been recognizing, the evil of the tongue and the harm that it does. And many of us here have even had to be prayed for to get healing in that area. But you know, the tongue can also be used in a very, very positive sense. And what we would like to do tonight is we recognize the negative, we recognize the evil that can come out of the tongue, but we want to give full recognition tonight to the positive that can come out of the tongue and the healing that the tongue can bring. The beautiful things that words spoken under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit can do for people. Just in encouraging them, but also counteracting much of the harm even that has been done intentionally or unintentionally in the past. So that's sort of where we're trying to go tonight. We're not denying the dangers of the tongue or the harm that has been done, but we feel it's very, very important for us as Christians to learn how to operate our tongue in a positive way and recognize, as negative as it can be super positive and healing in the Holy Spirit. So that's sort of where we're going tonight. And we're going to start, by the way, there's a lot of scripture, so please fasten your seatbelts. It's not difficult scripture to understand, but it's actually quite profound and deep, even in its simplicity. But there is quite a lot, but it is really very easy to understand. And we'd like to start, I want to read James chapter 3. We're going to read the first 12 verses. And this for me is almost an overarching description of the tongue, if I can call it that way. And so I just want to read this as a basis for the message tonight. Okay. James 3, verse 1. My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at ships. Although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird or reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. We'll come back to this scripture just now. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. That's the likeness of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring yields both salt water and fresh. So far. What do you say to that, my wife?
Darling.
Floor's yours.
This is too much to sort of quickly work through. One has to pay attention and meditate a bit on the reality of what the tongue can do. And so, well, I remember sharing some 6 or 5 weeks ago about my brokenness caused by the tongue. So I realize the tongue can really be very destructive. Words we speak can be very, very, and actually it can take your mind, that becomes your identity. That is what you believe, that you're all, there is all about you. And I remember thinking very much, I'm the least of these. I'll never make anything because of all the negative words which were spoken over me. So I thought, I'll never make anything. But God, for God, nothing is impossible. And he speaks words over us which will really be healing, like an ointment. And I remember I had a job. I worked for a removal company. I was a representative. And I always liked health foods. So I always wanted to look at what is in this stuff. If I can't pronounce it, I won't buy it. I was very specific over things I would eat and buy. But I was not an expert on health foods. But I did my best. And here I was working, so Derek said to me, darling, I've seen there is an advertisement for a health food shop. Should we buy it? I thought, buy it? No, I can't do that. I haven't got a clue. And here now come the word, what is like the rudder, what turns a ship, the words Derek spoke. It turned my whole thinking around, because Derek said, darling, if you can't make a success out of it, no one will. This was something I'd never heard in my life. And that put me on a different trajectory of, okay, I'm going to try. And the business was for sale because they didn't make any profit for many months. And I can honestly say the third month already was turned into profit. And you know, my ex-boss at that time, because I told him that we were going to buy a health food shop, he said, I'll lend you the money and you can pay me back as long as it takes. Can you imagine? So I resigned, but, And I think because he may also have think Rosita will make a success story out of it. And not because I was good, we didn't even know the Lord. But God's favor was upon us. And for me, the words spoken, so it is vitally important, the words we speak. And we were praying on Thursday evening at intercession for marriages. And there's so much divorce and what have you, marriages what don't work. And I thought, if we only paid attention to the words we speak in our marriage, when there is maybe a little sort of, but words how we speak and the body language we throw into it, possibly a lot of marriages could have been saved if we only learned to move in the opposite spirit and speak words of encouragement or speak it in a different tone. So, yeah, this is how I'll hand it over to Derek. He's the teacher, the preacher.
I'm the husband. Yeah.
And the husband.
Yeah. No, it's very interesting. As we were preparing the message, and you know, Rosita raised the thing about, you remember you said that you know, if you can't do it, no one can do it. And it's very interesting. Like, we weren't saved, and all I was saying was what I knew. I knew my wife. I know what she could do. She can sell sand for the Arabs and ice to the Eskimos all in one day. You know, it's not a problem for her. And so, you know, I knew what I had there, you know. But it's interesting. So, like I say, we're unsaved, we don't know the Lord, but words of life still came out because I knew. I just said what was in me. And we realized when we were talking about the message, you know, many of those hurtful words that have gone out in the past, many of them haven't even really been intentional. You know, it's just words that came out and may have been very, very hurtful for those who received them, but not necessarily intentional from those that said them. We recognize there are obviously instances when people are deliberately trying to hurt someone and deliberately speaking maliciously and viciously. But so often I think it's careless words. Praise God, the words that came out of my mouth that time were good. But it was, yeah, just I had a bit of a realization that it was unintentional, but praise God, it was good. So we need to pay attention to the words we speak, because sometimes our unintentional words, praise God, can be of great encouragement, but our unintentional words can also cause problems. So we need to allow the Holy Spirit to teach us. Okay, let's go back to that scripture I said when we were reading the first 12 verses, James 3 verse 8. If we can flight that one. But no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Yeah, there it is. Full of deadly poison. That is a pretty horrendous scripture if I look at that. And it says, no man can tame the tongue. But don't give up. God can tame the tongue. You know, what is impossible with man is possible with God. And I think what we can understand from that scripture is we may try to tame the tongue. And it's good to try. We need to try. But eventually, or sooner or later, if it's just my own effort, something wrong is going to come out. But if I truly submit and yield myself and my tongue to God and say, Lord, help me, then he is the one who can ultimately tame the tongue. And I need to cry out for him. Maybe we can go, because it leads to the next scripture that we want to talk about. Psalm 141 verse 3. Have we got it there? Should be there. Psalm 141 verse 3. says, "Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips." So, in crying out to the Lord to help me with my tongue, I can also say, "Lord, set a guard over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Zip my lip. Zip my lip." So, no man can tame the tongue. We need to call out to the Lord. We need to ask the Lord to set a guard over our mouth. But let's move on to Proverbs 21, verse 23. It's up there. There's something we need to do. "Whoever guards his mouth and tongue keeps his soul from troubles." And so, whilst ultimately we are going to have to call out to God to help us, I need to make the effort. It says, "Whoever guards his mouth and tongue keeps his soul from troubles." So I need to want to make an effort to let my tongue be God-honoring. And so there is a part that I have to play, and there's a part the Lord has to play. I need to yield to the Lord and say, "Lord, I want my tongue to glorify you. Help me, please. And help me tame my tongue. Bring it into obedience to you." And then as we walk with the Lord in this, as we cooperate with the Holy Spirit, He will tame the tongue and set a guard over my mouth and zip my lip. And I've been so pleased He's done that once or twice. Saved me from a lot of trouble. I remember once actually experiencing, it was as though the Holy Spirit sort of went like that, you know what I mean? And what was about to come out, praise God, it didn't come out. That would not have ended well. Anyhow, that's another story. But so that's it. It's a serious matter. But if we want to get it right, we can. By faith and by obedience, we walk with the Lord. We make our effort in the Holy Spirit, and we trust God to complete the job. I think as we're speaking about this, I think you can sort of get what's coming next. The root of all of this, it's actually basically a heart issue. That's what it boils down to. It's a heart issue. And the scripture actually says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. That is very much, you know, what's in here, sooner or later, it's going to come out of here, whether you like it or not. And if it's evil, it's going to come out of here. And if it's good and godly, it's going to come out of here as well. Let's read that scripture. Matthew 12, verses 34 to 37. The Lord seems to be speaking to the Pharisees. Normally when He says, "brood of vipers," which is how He starts off, that's normally Him speaking to the Pharisees. So, from verse 34, "Brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." There's that scripture. "A good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, brings forth good things. And an evil man, out of the evil treasure, brings forth evil things." There it is. It's set out for us, okay? It's a matter of the heart. If I can cooperate with the Lord to get my heart right, then that abundance that comes out of my heart will be good. If I don't, it's not good. Okay, verse 36. "But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned." And that's very interesting. We can't even get saved without speaking good, godly words. Because how do we get saved? We believe in our heart and we confess with our mouth. So what comes out of our mouth is what we believe in our hearts. So for by our words we will be justified and by our words we will be condemned. But the verse above that is interesting. Verse 36 says to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. So that's quite a sobering thought, and but that is not for heaven or hell. That is when we come before the Lord. There's going to come a time that we will have to give account for the words we have spoken. So I have to say that for myself, that is a really good motivation to try and speak good words, because one day I'm going to have to explain them to Jesus. And it's quite a sobering thought, but it's an encouragement to us as well. What do you say, Sarah?
Amen.
You have to do better than that.
It's what we say reveals what is in our hearts. And I also, being an artist, out of what the Lord would put in my heart, I would paint. But when I look at times at paintings, I think I can see that there is a lot of iffy thoughts going on in this artist's heart. Because out of the fullness, you speak, you show, you write. Listen to some of the songs written by some ungodly people. They think, oh, well. So bitterness, resentment, anger, if that, it's poisoning your whole being, and out of that we speak, we perform, so it is of vital importance to get a clean heart. And if there is a problem, repent and ask the Lord, Lord, show me what is deeply hidden in the dark chambers of my heart, which caused often by a lot of pain. But we need to clean it before the Lord, and then the Lord will bring healing, and then we all want to have words that will lift others up. But I have to be whole first, before that really becomes a norm, actually. Do you agree?
I agree. I've learned it's good to agree with my wife. Yeah, brings us to the next scripture, which is Ephesians 4, verse 29 to 32. And this scripture speaks about bitterness and wrath and anger. And that's a real killer as far as the tongue is concerned. Let's read that. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. That's what I'm supposed to do. Impart grace to people and build them up. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you are sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. And one of the things that really strikes me in that scripture is that if the wrong things come out of my mouth, I grieve the Holy Spirit. I grieve the Holy Spirit. And you know, grieve is a very strong word. It's a very strong word. And what happens when we grieve the Holy Spirit, it's like there's a wall of separation between God and us. And and you know, that's when we start saying things like, God doesn't hear me, God doesn't answer my prayers, it's like my prayers come bounce back from the ceiling and things like that. Because it's that separation between us, because we've grieved the Holy Spirit. And the good news is that the way out is simply to repent. But it is very interesting that negatively spoken words are of such a nature that we can grieve the Holy Spirit with it. And that's really not a thing we want to do. So we need to truly, cooperate with the Lord in speaking words of edification and grace and kind words, etc., etc. You agree?
I do agree, and I'll share an experience. I'll never forget it. So here was a Sunday, and I thought, why is Derek so off-putting? He doesn't even want to speak. And I asked, did I do something wrong? It said, no, it's okay. So he was sort of rather cold, if you like.
Frozen.
frozen. There was sort of this, And we had an appointment in
Gordon's
Bay. So off we go. And no, there was nothing between us, ice cold. And it disturbed me tremendously because he didn't want to say what I'd done or not done. So here we get home in the evening, and Derek fast asleep, and I thought, Lord, I don't know what's wrong with Derek. Can you will know what is going on in his heart and what in my heart. Would you please show me if I have done anything wrong? And you know, that kind of prayer the Lord will quickly answer. He will quickly say, ah, now, here, open your ears, I will show you. And the Lord showed me sort of little pictures where I had spoken not very good words. I snapped a number of times, like disagreeing and being, big-headed possibly. And so the Lord showed me, and here I start crying. And I thought, Lord, and the Lord said, you've never repented. So I thought, Lord, I asked the Lord to please forgive me for my bad behavior. And I woke Derek up because I thought, I will not fall asleep without waking him up. So and I was crying. So Derek's...
Was I snoring?
So Derek, I told him, and please forgive me. And because I was weeping, he realized it was from the heart. It was not sort of a what is the word?
Whatever.
Superficial. It was a heart thing. And so all of a sudden, his heart was unfrozen. It was soft again. And he was kind and loving and what have you. And there the Lord showed me, this is just what happens with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, it becomes like a blockage when we grieve the Holy Spirit. And I thought, Lord, let me never forget it. So we have to repent. As soon as we realize this was wrong, we have to repent, because then it is an open channel. So this is my story on grieving the Holy Spirit.
And we were on honeymoon again, of course. Anyhow, sorry about that. Yeah, okay, we will now draw the message to a close. And we want to close by, you know, the book of Proverbs has lots of inspiring wisdom and encouragement for the tongue. So we want to close, we've got about 6 or 7 scriptures from Proverbs that are just encouragements for us to speak good and godly and wholesome words. And we're just going to go through them very, very quickly. And my suggestion is for us that we meditate on these things and let them come down in our hearts, because the thing is, what gets down in our hearts, as we mentioned earlier, is going to come out of this. And the more godly things I can take down in my heart, then the greater is the likelihood of godly things coming out and there's a less and lesser probability of some really negative stuff coming out. So we want to leave these with you, with all of us, as an encouragement, and they're actually all quite beautiful. We'll go through them very quickly, but just let them, let all of us, let them sink into our hearts. Proverbs 18, verse 21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Well, it's a simple choice. Death and life are in my tongue. Let me choose for life to come out of it. Beautiful. Proverbs 10, verse 11, the mouth of the righteous is a well of life, but violence covers the mouth of the wicked. I can choose to be a well of life. I'm clothed with the righteousness of Christ, so I can allow the water of life to come out of the well of life that that really should be in me. Proverbs 12, verse 25, this is very interesting. Anxiety in the heart of man causes depression. I think we can understand that. But a good word makes it glad. So one good word spoken under the unction of the Holy Spirit is better than an antidepressant pill. That's the power of God's spoken word out of our mouths. Just contrast that with the ugliness that comes out so often. So let's let, Lord, may good words come out of my mouth. Proverbs 15, verse 1, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. This is, do you want to say something? Right.
Do you know, I've learned, Derek is fantastic when it comes to moving in the opposite spirit. And it's something it doesn't come naturally because you want to throw a dart back. But if you can move in the opposite spirit, that you have no battleground. It will turn away. It will turn away wrong.
If you say so, don't you?
Yeah, definitely, definitely.
There's an extra chocolate for you. Okay. Seriously, this is quite a difficult one, you know. A soft answer turns away wrath. You know, if someone is coming in a bit angry, I mean, every one of us feels like giving it back to them, you know what I mean? With interest. It's called sowing and reaping, I think. Sorry. No, you know what I mean? It's sort of that natural human reaction. But if we can respond softly, Rosina, you're laughing, huh? If we can respond softly, there's no fight. There's actually no fight. And nine out of ten of these things, I guess, comes between husband and wives or whatever. But, yeah, maybe your boss. But then you've got to remember who pays the paycheck. But, I think very often it's with husband and wife. And if you can bite your teeth and just smile sweetly and bring something back, you save yourself a fight. And then you can actually deal with it objectively later on. Sorry, Derek.
Derek would sing and say, have I told you lately that I love you? Or he would say, Lord, you've given me such a beautiful woman, wife. So
there's no fight, because if Rosita doesn't stop the fight, I carry on singing, and that's a fate worse than death. She would just I'll do anything, just stop singing. I say, well, God says a joyful noise. Anyhow, that doesn't cut it with my wife. The next one, Proverbs 15, verse 23. A man has joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good it is. Isn't that interesting? If you and I can speak a good word, a word in due season to someone, and it's a good word, it's sincere and genuine, not plastic, you're going to get joy rise up in your heart. A man has joy by the answer of his mouth. That's amazing. That's a good way to get joy. Okay, next one, Proverbs 21, verse 23. Okay, we've touched on this one already. Whoever guards his mouth and tongue keeps his soul from troubles. And this is something that struck me when we were looking at this. If we go through that business that we spoke earlier on of yielding to God and asking Him to help to tame the tongue and zip the lip and all of that, there's a tremendous reward. It's that it will keep my soul from troubles. And what I noticed, it doesn't just say trouble, it says troubles, plural. So if I can cooperate with the Lord to keep this in order, then I'm really saving myself from an enormous amount of trouble, including a whole bunch of mental anguish as well, because it's going to keep my soul from troubles. And obviously one of those things is it will probably mean I don't fight with my wife. Praise God. The next one, Proverbs 25, verse 11. This is my favorite of all of them. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver. Fitly is a bit of an old-fashioned word. It really means appropriate or in a suitable manner. So we can say a word appropriately spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver. And when I just stopped to dwell and meditate on that for a little bit, I thought, wow, it's like apples of gold in settings of silver. That's if an appropriate word can come out of my mouth at the right time. Now, that's incredible. Gold is a precious metal. Silver is a precious metal. In God's eyes, those sort of words are absolutely precious, like apples of gold in settings of silver. Precious metal. Isn't that wonderful? May you be encouraged. We have to recognize the tough things about the tongue and the harm it can do. Everybody's got experience of that. You know, I've got it, you've got it. I doubt that there's a person here in church tonight who hasn't got some negative memory of that. But God, as Rosita said, the power of the tongue for positive is incredible. It is phenomenal. I must just allow the Lord to train me and cooperate with the Lord to get the good stuff down in my heart so the good stuff comes out. And I'm not talking about speaking plastic and being a hypocrite. I'm talking about genuine, good, godly words of encouragement and upbuilding that can come out of our mouths. So that's a lesson for me. May it be an encouragement for all of us.